Coaching entrepreneurs with ADHD is a genuinely tricky proposition. We're stubbornly self-sufficient, either slow to recognize when we need support or too proud to ask for it. And when we do finally admit we need help, we want it now. Not Thursday at 2 p.m., now. We don't get stuck on a schedule. The question hits when it hits. The spiral starts when it starts. And your coach, as good as he or she is not available 24/7, nor should they be. But the need doesn't care about that. I've been sitting with this problem for a long time, longer than you might think. We're talking 1996. There was a sheep involved. Stick with me. So, 1996, a sheep named Dolly, and a problem that took 30 years to solve. Today, I'm announcing something I have literally been dreaming about since before most of you had a smartphone. It's called Die AI, because my close friends call me Die, not Diane, and Die AI is my digital clone. Built on a platform called CoachVox and trained exclusively on my coaching frameworks, my very best podcast content, and my business methodology. It's the AI version of me that my clients and soon anyone can access anytime around the clock for decision support, for business strategies, second opinions, for thought partnership, or as a standalone resource. My team and I have been building it quietly over the past few months, but I've been thinking about it for so much longer than that. And I have a lot to say about why I built it, how it works, and what I'm hoping it will do for people in this community. But first, because I know you, let me address the two questions I can already hear forming in your head. Before I tell you what Die AI is, let me tell you what it isn't, because I know some of you are already there. No, this is not me replacing human coaching with a chatbot and calling it innovation. And no, this is not me dusting off my therapy license and offering mental health support through an AI interface. Neither of those things is happening. Die AI is built on my coaching methodology, my frameworks, my approach to business strategy, the way I think about entrepreneurship with an ADHD lens. It's not built on my clinical training. I left the therapy room for a good reason years ago. It was very intentional. Die AI reflects who I am now, a business strategist and coach, not who I used to be professionally. And as for replacing human coaching, I want you to think of it this way. Your GPS, genuinely useful. I use mine every single day. It gives you directions at 2 a.m. if you happen to be out and about without judgment, recalculates when you make wrong turns, and never rolls its eyes when you miss the exit. But it doesn't notice that you've been white-knuckling the steering wheel for over 200 miles and really need to pull over and eat something before you go another 100. Well, that would require an actual human in the car. So Die AI is the GPS. I am still the human in the car. Both have value. Neither replaces the other. And understanding that distinction is the whole foundation of what I'm about to share with you. So let's talk about AI for a minute. I mean, not Die AI specifically, just AI in general. Because unless you've been hiding under a rock, it is all people are talking about right now. And we need to have an honest conversation about it because I want you to understand why I built Die AI and why we need to acknowledge the room that we're in right now. That room is complicated. Some people are all in, unenthusiastically, sometimes uncritically, adopting every new AI tool that drops, convinced that we are now living in the most transformative moment in human history. Maybe we are. Other people are deeply skeptical. They're worried about authenticity, about job displacement, about what it means when the line between human and artificial gets increasingly harder to locate. And there are people with genuine ethical concerns about data, privacy, consent, creative ownership, and the concentration of power in the hands of a very small number of tech companies. All of those concerns are legitimate. Of course, there are also the fringy folks with their conspiracy theories, and there have been movies about artificial intelligence becoming sentient and pushing humans off their top of the food chain pedestal. Well, they've been around for probably as long as sci-fi. I'm thinking Terminator was, what, 1984? And then there's the group that I suspect a lot of you are in. Not ideologically opposed, but not uncritically enthusiastic either. Just genuinely overwhelmed by how fast everything is moving and really not sure what to make of any of it. I have been in that last group more than I'd like to admit. I am not an AI evangelist. I'm also not a skeptic. What I am is someone who's been paying attention to this space specifically through the lens of what it might mean for entrepreneurs with ADHD brains, people who are already running their businesses on a combination of hyperfocus, compensatory strategies, and stubborn self-reliance, and asking myself whether any of this actually moves the needle for us, or whether it's just more noise dressed up as signal. Another shiny object, as it were. My conclusion at this moment, after quite a bit of observation and quite a bit of experimentation, is that it really depends entirely on the application. Generic AI tools can be useful, but something trained specifically on how I think in my voice, addressing the specific challenges of my people, that's a different conversation. And that's the conversation that I want to have with you today. Honestly, I fantasized about it before becoming an entrepreneur myself. It all started with that famous Scottish sheep. She's the one who gave me the idea some 30 years ago. For those of you that don't remember or weren't around, in 1996, a team of scientists in Scotland announced that they had successfully cloned a sheep. Her name was Dolly, and she became an overnight celebrity in her own right, not just in scientific circles, but with forward-thinking people like me. People who have more ideas, more dreams, and more ambitions than one single lifetime could possibly contain. I was rooting for Dolly hard, not because I had philosophical thoughts about the nature of identity or the ethics of genetic replication. My reaction was considerably less sophisticated than that, and I'm not ashamed of it. I was essentially thinking, oh my fucking God, I can finally clone myself so I can do all the things. What I imagined was a world where cloning technology would eventually become as accessible as, I don't know, like a genetic ancestry kit. You know, you do a little cheek swabby, you wait a couple of weeks, and then like a version of you would just show up, ready to handle things you didn't have the bandwidth for, while you focused on the things that only you could do. I wanted to travel to every country, meet every interesting person, pursue every curiosity, and run a thriving business and life simultaneously. Dolly felt like the beginning of that future, and I wanted all of it. Dolly, unfortunately, did not deliver. She lived 6 years and had to be put to sleep because of some major medical problems that were very likely related to the fact that she was a clone. However, she did contribute meaningfully to science in her short life, but ultimately left me exactly where I started. One person, finite hours, finite energetic capacity, and way too many fucking ideas. But the wish never really went away. In July of 2020, I wrote a blog post, without puting too much thought into it, called How Can I Clone Myself? I had an admirer for quite a while who found that post and tried to chat me up. I don't know where he is in the world, but he thought that was a very captivating way to connect with people and briefly connected with me. But I think, you know what, I'll link to it in the show notes. You can decide if it was that interesting or maybe just to him. But, you know, it's not a metaphor to me. It is a genuine lament that technology still hasn't caught up to the need for folks like me who need help to do the things that they want to do because we have so many of them. But by that point, at the time I wrote the blog post in July of 2020, I'd been an entrepreneur long enough to understand exactly what kind of cloning I actually wanted. I wasn't really so much in the fantasy world anymore of being able to travel everywhere and meet everybody. I didn't want a copy to live my parallel life. I wanted a copy that could extend my professional reach, that could be present for the people I work for in the moments that I couldn't be, and even help people who liked my approach to ADHD business coaching, but weren't able, ready, or willing to invest in a 6-month private engagement. And then last summer, here falls another chapter in this story. I had Will Christensen as a guest on this podcast. You may remember the episode. I will link to it in the show notes as well. And Will and I talked about automation, AI, and entrepreneurial apprentices, or what he referred to as top-tier human talent, as partial solutions to the scaling problem. It was a genuinely lively, exciting, and useful conversation. Will's frameworks are smart and practical. And if you are at the point in your business where you are looking for ways to scale, I strongly suggest you listen to that episode and you connect with Will. But even as we were recording it, I knew we were talking about something a little different than what I had envisioned. I was still looking not to supplement myself, but to extend myself as myself. So here's what I keep coming back to. In the coaching relationship, as valuable as it is, there are structural limitations. You and your coach meet on a schedule, most likely. Typically, it's weekly or every other week. That's the schedule I meet with my clients. That schedule is built around the principles of consistency and momentum, which ADHD brains need a lot, even more than normies. But ADHD brains don't save their most urgent questions for when we have a scheduled appointment. Insight lands when it lands. The decision paralysis peaks when it fucking peaks. And the 2 a.m. spiral doesn't consult your calendar before it decides to lay you out. And that 2 a.m. spiral, hey, it can't always wait until your next scheduled coaching call or even the next day when your coach may offer access via email or Voxer, as I do with my clients. And on the other side of that equation, different people need wildly different amounts of time to process information before they can move forward. Some people just need to read, hear, or think of something once, and they're off to the races. Others need to turn it over 17 times from 17 different angles before it clicks, and they're locked and loaded. A fixed session structure can't always honor that. It's not a failure of coaching. It's a structural reality, particularly when you're working with neurodivergent brains. So Die AI is my attempt to meet both of those needs, yours and mine, and work with the limitations of the coaching container, to be present in the gaps, to extend the reach of the work we do together into the moments when the work is actually needed. Dolly started this. Die AI is my attempt to be Dolly. I want to tell you next about the platform that I chose to build on, CoachVox. It's specifically designed to create AI versions of coaches and thought leaders. It's not a generic AI tool repurposed for coaching. It is something built from the ground up for this exact application. I'm going to link to Coach Fox in the show notes because I'm really, really enjoying working with this company and working directly with the founders. I chose it because it was purpose-built, because the team understands the coaching context, because the founders are incredibly generous and available, and because it gave me some control over the training process because I care so much about the outcome. Now, as for that training process, I want to be honest about this because if you happen to be a listener of this podcast who's also a coach and thinking, hey, maybe I want to do this, I want to be honest because I really, really believe in informed consent and because I have a lifetime of jumping into things without realizing what I was getting into. I don't want to be a party of that for you. So let me tell you about the process. Training.ai was more demanding than I expected. Not technically demanding because I'm not an engineer, but demanding in a different way. Let me tell you why. Training.ai meant not only feeding it my frameworks, my very best podcast content, my methodology, but then reviewing what it produced and asking myself over and over and over again, does this actually sound like me? Coach Fox calls it fine-tuning. It is a multi-stage process because I don't want a polished corporate coaching industry version of me. Ew, it needs to be like me, direct, a little sweary, willing to push back, and absolutely allergic to generic advice dressed up with ADHD lingo. That process turned out to be unexpectedly revealing. Because when you spend hours evaluating whether the AI responses capture your voice, you realize things about your own communication patterns that you maybe didn't consciously know. And I have a degree in communication, so I think a lot about how I communicate, and I still learn things. Like the phrases that I reach for on the regular and how they are interpreted by AI. The way I structure teaching. The way I push back in, wouldn't say an argument, but a difference of opinion. The specific things I refuse to say because I think they're either vague and generic or so overused that I just would never use them because I don't like things that are either nondescript or literally copy and pasted by everybody and their mother. There was a moment, and I remember it very clearly, when I was reading one of Dai.ai's responses, and I thought, oh my God, that's exactly what I would say. Not like approximately, not close enough, like that's exactly what I would say. And that moment was both satisfying, but also kind of unsettling in the best possible way. You know what surprised me most? How much the quality of Dai.ai depended on the quality of what I fed into. Now, I know. We should all be familiar with the term garbage in, garbage out, or in this context, generic in, generic out. But the more specific, the more opinionated, the more distinctively mine the source material was, the better Dai.ai performs, which is either a lesson about AI training or a lesson about the value of having a genuine point of view and sharing it as authentically as you possibly can. I suspect it's probably both. What frustrated me was the iteration, I gotta be honest. There was no shortcut to reviewing hundreds and hundreds of responses and then making judgment calls about their authenticity. It takes the time it takes. For someone with ADHD who would always very much like to be done already, that was a genuine exercise in patience, something that people seem to think I have a lot of, but I do not experience myself that way. I am beyond grateful to my team for streamlining the process for me, batching every single step of it, encouraging me and holding me accountable to staying in momentum and moving the process forward over a period of several months. so that I wouldn't get overly discouraged, frustrated, or simply bored. What made me a believer was using it myself. Asking it questions I would ask a trusted advisor, watching it respond with the kind of directness and specificity that I'd like to think is my value proposition. It's not perfect. It will never be perfect, but it is genuinely and substantively useful. Just like this podcast is useful, but not perfect. Die AI is useful in a way that no podcast can ever be because it's interactive. So let me get specific now, because AI coaching tool is abstract, and abstract doesn't help you decide whether this would even be worth your time to kick the tires. Here's what Die AI actually looks like in practice. Let's say you're stuck on a pricing decision. It's 10 p.m. Your partner is saying, enough already, you need to come to bed. And you are thinking out loud something that you just need to bounce this off of somebody who isn't going to just say, trust your worth. Or you're trying to decide whether to fire a particular client who's like technically fine, but is quietly draining your energy and working your very last nerve every single time you meet. Or you've just gotten a piece of feedback that has activated every rejection sensitivity response you have, and you need help separating the signal from the noise before you do something reactive. You've explained your business model to yourself a dozen times, and it still doesn't feel clear, and you need a thought partner to give you a second opinion or ask the right questions to help you validate whether what you have is on the money or you need to stay with the drawing board. Those are Die AI conversations, specific, strategic, and grounded in the frameworks and methodology that I have spent years developing, available whenever you need them at whatever pace your brain needs to process. Now, because I've been so specific about what Die AI is not, I want to be equally specific here because I think this matters as much as anything else I've said today. Die AI is not therapy. It does not provide mental health treatment of any kind. Die AI is also not suitable for legal, financial, or medical advice. If you have a contract dispute, a tax question, or a health concern, Die AI is not your resource. A qualified professional is. And it must be said that like any AI, Die AI can hallucinate. All AI can and does. I want to say that plainly, because I think most AI tools bury it in the very fine print and hope you don't notice. Hallucination is a known limitation of large language model technology. It means the AI can produce responses that sound totally confident and authoritative while being factually incorrect or simply made up. It doesn't happen often, but it happens. Which means you should always apply your own critical thinking to what Die AI or any AI tells you. Verify important information independently and not make significant business decisions based solely on what it says. Use it as a thinking partner, not an oracle. There's also a user agreement, which my attorney drafted and which I actually read, unlike most terms of service in the history of the internet, and it covers all of this in great detail. I'm also linking to that in the show notes, and please do actually read it before you sign up. I mean that. Die AI is launching in beta in March 2026. So if you are listening to this episode soon after it's published, you will be one of the first kids on your block to take it for a spin. Whee! And here's how this works. Current clients and a small group of former clients have already received personal invitations. If you're in that group, you already know. That felt like the right way to honor those specific relationships because they know the real me, they've done the work, and they are in the best position to tell me whether Die AI genuinely captures my work, my voice, and if it's useful. For everyone else, including podcast listeners, email subscribers, people that have been curious about working with me but haven't done so yet, you can sign up directly through the link in the show notes. That link is also on my LinkedIn bio and now on my website. Read the user agreement, agree to the terms, and you're in. Access is free throughout the beta period. What I'm asking for in return is simple. Just use it. Don't sign up and forget it exists. Actually use it. Bring it a real question, have a real conversation, and then tell me honestly what worked and what didn't. I built this for entrepreneurs with ADHD traits, and I need this community's real experience to know if it's delivering. That's the deal. No lengthy surveys, no performance pressure, no complicated onboarding, no bait and switch. Sign up, use it, and tell me what you think. I'll be following up with a simple Google form that takes less than 5 minutes to make it as easy as possible. And I want to end with something that feels important. I didn't build DieAI because it was trendy. I didn't build it because everyone else was doing it or because some marketing consultant told me it would help me differentiate my brand. I built it because I have spent my entire career trying to figure out how to make strategic thinking more accessible to brains that work differently. I left clinical work because I wanted to help people build things from their ADHD strengths, not just cope with their ADHD struggles. I started this podcast because I wanted to reach more people than a one-on-one coaching business ever could. Every framework I've developed, every episode I've recorded, every client conversation I've had has been in service to the same underlying belief. ADHD brains, when they have the right support and the right strategies, are capable of building remarkable things. DieAI is the next expression of that. It's not a replacement for human connection or human coaching. It's an extension of everything I've already built, available at the exact moment when the question or problem surfaces and your brain wants to work on it. Dolly the Sheep started this wish in me in 1996. And while it took 30 years and a platform called CoachVox and many, many hours of training and fine-tuning to get it right, I finally got my clone. The link to sign up for the beta is in the show notes. The user agreement is there too, and I'm serious, I want you to read it. And if you use DieAI and have thoughts, I so want to hear them. Thank you for being the kind of people that make building something like this worth doing.